Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve Ryman, our engineer, points at me, and that means go. Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. Carlos Griego and his team also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. If you need service, call Bosky at 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Our friend Sam Newman, Cornerstone LifeWorks in studio. Sam is a mental health professional, and we've had him on the show now three or four times. Sam, welcome.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You doing well?
Yeah. It's the weather has been so awesome.
Yesterday was like summer. Today's a little cooler. Right. I understand we might get a little rain.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Mexico, we can always use moisture.
Right. Right. And then hopefully it'll last longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah. You know? Well, hey, we are... We're excited to have you, and I appreciate your willingness to come over and take an hour out of your day, and it blesses our folks that are listening. Our listeners are always sending me information about or requests for different things, and in fact, I worded a couple of the questions today as a mixture, if you will, of a couple things that people have emailed me.
Nice.
If you have questions for Sam, feel free to call us today at 338-5790. Or if you want to email me, my email address is jim@abqconnect.online. A lot of the emails we may not be able to get on until the next time Sam visits us, but a lot of the questions are the same.
Right.
Sam, we had a gentleman on with us named Ben Corson. Ben has a ministry called Hope Generation. He's a young man that dealt with anxiety and depression, clinical depression, for 10 years of his life, to the point where he was almost suicidal.
Mm.
Now he travels all over the country. He's a pastor of a church. He has Hope Generation Ministry. He's a public speaker. He's an amazing writer. He's just come up with a new book that's all about dealing with depression.
Nice.
So I thought we'd talk to you as a mental health professional and get people to, you know, give us a little bit more, you know, detail about the help that's available and those kind of things. Do you have any idea what percentage of Americans deal with anxiety and depression?
Yeah, and you know, the idea of statistics is they all vary. But in the context of experiencing a difficult moment, you know, a sense of helplessness, I would estimate that's probably 100% because human beings. But in the context of clinical, you know, aspects of depression, anxiety, you know, there's estimations of 60 to 70% of a population, but all the variants between the studies and the variants of, levels of mental health disorders. But depending on how the studies are going, there's a predominant amount of people that are showing, you know, context where they have symptomology of things depending on where they live, you know, economics, those type of things, but we bring COVID into that, and I would be assuming that the statistics are even growing.
Mm. And that data is not available yet.
Not yet. Not that we've seen. You know, there's you know, like if you Google anything, there's estimates. Mm. But what we're seeing a lot with the family, with kids, is that there's just a lot of isolation, and that breeds, you know, just that discomfort, that discontent, but depression and anxiety symptoms.
So help us a little bit with some definition of terms a little bit. I think we need to talk about that here at the beginning. Explain the difference between depression, and I understand things like manic depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, those kind of things are kind of under that category.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have anxiety disorders. Talk to us about those.
Yeah, anxiety can really be in the state of like body response, but anxiety can always be, you know, kind of attributed to a body response or reaction, maybe even better to say, to worry or fear. So that sense, and this is where at Cornerstone and just within mental health overall, there's a big focus these days on not just the brain, but the context of the whole body experience, a somatic response, because the body just wants to keep you alive, you know, in context of that subconscious level. You know, and anybody that's had, you know, any, like a vehicle crash or a near-death experience, those types of things, the body goes into reaction, you know, if they are hearing a gunshot or just those types of things. So that's more of a sense of anxiety or panic, you know, in that state to where the autonomic nervous system goes into a suppression, a fight or flight, and it relocates blood, it relocates muscle activation. That's not anything that we really think about, you know. Whereas depression, that can be autonomic nervous system as well in the way of suppression, but depression comes into that place where from a state of overwhelm, same anxiety on a continual basis, to where you get to a state maybe of helplessness or hopelessness. Mm-hmm. And then it just, you know, kind of downhill slides from there. So that context of people feeling, and we define it, and I'm kind of stealing this term from the New Age kind of thought, but states of being. Mm-hmm. So the idea of a depressive state of being or an anxious state of being, there is a context of it's not just mental health thinking, but how am I feeling, you know, in those states. But really then bringing that back into a biblical Christ focus and really putting it in the context that love cast out fear, that there's a person involved with that. Because if you imagine, and this is what I love in our work that we do, we get to use mindfulness, but imagining Jesus' state of being. He's not in depression. He's not in anxiety, but we get to come to him when we are. Mm. So that's the...
When I think about people that have visited this show, mm-hmm. and they sit in front of that microphone as you are now, it might sound funny, but I've seen anxiety disorders in action. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a couple of guests that have had such bad dry mouth, and that's why I give you water and mints and everything else when you come in. Mm-hmm. I've had people that it's almost like they have so much anxiety about talking to the public. And by the way, our listeners are really nice, right? Aren't you guys? Okay. I'll take that as
no,
a yes.
No hecklers.
People get so stressed out and they have so much anxiety about it that they're really at least at the beginning of the show. I haven't had anybody seize up, but at the beginning, I have to have a certain tone of voice. Mm-hmm. I have to do a certain amount of talking. They have to listen in their headphones to kind of hear things, mm-hmm. you know, as they mm-hmm. go. And then they seem to loosen up. They make a couple of comments and then all of a sudden they kind of relax. And, but there are some chemical things going mm-hmm. on in their bodies.
Very much. And it's cortisol is the pretty much the big name these days in a suppression, you know, type of thing, as well as adrenaline. And a lot of that is subconsciously done. We're not thinking about it, you know, but what the thinking is, it gets on to kind of an endless loop. Kind of like I always described as baggage claim at the airport. It's not going anywhere. It's just going round and round and round. But what usually happens when then that situation, say somebody getting dry mouth, somebody having an autonomic nervous response, is their breath is dysregulated. And I always love the context of how God started things off. It's breath. You know, he breathed life. And people really, and this is for you listeners, really today, really just pause and do something simply, but notice your breath. When you're washing your hair, when you're, you know, working on something on the car, when you get frustrated, when you're in a state of peace, really watch how your breath dysregulates throughout the day. And you'll find yourself holding your breath when you're thinking about things. Mm. But then that context, you imagine coming onto the radio, it's a stressful situation in some ways. But you're coming in, say, dehydrated, you haven't drank enough water. We live in the desert, you know. But in that context too, your breath is dysregulated, you know, so you're kind of primed already to get hit. Mm-hmm. And that's the space of helping people to really just on a biochemically somatic level, and your body is a makeup of water. In a lot of ways, your brain is a makeup of water, to really help people to, you know, combine that with breath, but really take care of themselves in those ways. Because usually when somebody gets anxious, they stop eating, they stop sleeping, and they stop really caring for that the sense of self.
And this is all a reaction to anxiety. We haven't even mm-hmm. gotten to depression.
Right.
It's interesting, as I'm listening to you, thinking about a couple of different experiences in athletics. Mm. I've shot free throws with 1 second left on the clock in the pit with 18,000 people there. And that was, you know, you're just kind of all tensed up and all of this. But you go through that. And so talking on the radio is not that hard. Plus, I've been doing this for a really long time. Did television for a long time, and that was kind of nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. What is nerve-wracking to me now is when I listen to this show and I go, oh, why did I say that? Or that speech pattern's right. ridiculous, and I should know better. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always critiques that I give myself, and that creates more anxiety right. than sitting here right now.
Right.
But here's another thing that I'm really interested in the breathing aspect that you've talked about. because a lot of our listeners have seen women tennis players. And I bring up the women because I have not seen a man do this. It would be good for the men to do it, but I've never seen the men do it. You will hear, I'll say the women are grunting when they hit the ball. They go, ugh! Yeah. And sometimes it's really pronounced and really dramatic. Mm-hmm. And that was started about 5 or 6 years ago, or not five or six, but 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And people would always wonder, well, why are these women doing this? Well, the reason they're doing it is because if you, as a coach, can get your athlete to breathe out, they have to breathe in. Mm-hmm. And the stress and the anxiety of missing a shot made these athletes not breathe. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time in basketball. You will see kids get involved in a scrum, if you will, underneath the basket, trying to block each other out and fight after the ball. And you know they're holding their breath.
Right.
And all of a sudden that one of the teams comes up with the ball, but all the players on the floor are exhausted because they haven't been breathing for the last 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So we do drills to teach people how to breathe through all of that. And one of the things we do when they go up for a rebound is to make them yell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because again, if you can get them to breathe out, they have to breathe in. So I think that's an application of what you're talking about.
Definitely. Definitely. And really helping people to feel comfortable doing it. And there's all types, especially grief. When somebody's in grief, the stages of grief, you know, and there's variants on people's stages and what they come up with. But a lot of that is helping people to express, say, anger, loss, you know, because there's anger towards, you know, that context of grief, but really helping people to somatically get that out. And that's the context of really helping people to go into expression, because most people that are feeling anxious or depressed are internally processing that. And that's the whole context of what we want to offer at Cornerstone. But even on coming on the radio, because I love just being part of that community piece, because it is the space of helping people to be open and open up, you know, to be willing to be vulnerable. And we see that in the scriptures of come to me all who are heavy laden, and there's an exchange. And it's the best exchange rate you'll ever get, right? Mm. You're giving him essentially the yuck, and he's willing to take it and give you rest.
Well, in the scriptures about confessing our sins to one another, you know, how healing that is, just to be able to get that out of yourself.
Yeah, right, right.
So again, as I've heard a couple comedians imitating our former president, George W. Bush, this is not rocket surgery.
Right.
It really is simple and practical, but for some reason, it's hard for a lot of people to do it. And there's also a stigma attached, which we'll talk a little bit later about that. So we've talked a lot about anxiety. Tell us about depression.
Yeah, depression is really in that context, too. And and anxiety and depression are very related because people, we're usually seeing people, you know, we use a model like the idea of cognitive behavioral therapy and rational emotive behavior therapy, these things. But there's this ABC. And the C is consequence. And that's the idea of coming into an activating event. And then there's this belief or behavior that comes up. And then the consequence. We're seeing people when the consequence is an effect. You know, when it's happened. When they've been living with this a lot of times too for years. But the consequence has just beat them down. You know, they go to bed with it. They wake up with it. They've got family members that remind them of it. There's, you know, and then there's daily basis of like you're talking about on the radio, you get into that critical factor and you throw the devil in there and he's the accuser of the brethren, right? So in that context, depression is really that spot of I've just been beat down and I'm feeling hopeless, you know, and maybe not hopeless, but hopeless in certain areas. Because this is the challenge too of what we see a lot at the clinic is that people are shining in one area of life, say at the office, on the court, but then they come home to be a husband and a dad or a wife and a mom, and they feel hopeless, you know, and that's the place of really helping people to come in and just have that safe place to be vulnerable and just to really open things up and talk about it. And then we can kind of attribute that for treatment plan and if there's any chemical, you know, imbalance of medications and those types of things to get somebody righted.
Mm. So. We are in studio today with Sam Newman. He's the director of Cornerstone LifeWorks here in Albuquerque. Cornerstone LifeWorks has a mission to help individuals, couples, and families cultivate the quality of life and relationships that they were first intended to have. We're going to talk more about that when we come back with Sam Newman. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Have you always wanted to finish your degree, but you could never afford it or find the time? Well, here's some great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering students and ministry leaders a $12,000 scholarship. With this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is the most affordable, fully accredited Christian online university in the United States, and it's 100% online, so you can study wherever and whenever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's and master's degrees in biblical counseling, Christian education, and several other fields. And with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig and David Guzik involved, you can be sure you're getting a quality education. This scholarship is available for a limited time, so apply now. Find out more at CalvaryChapelUniversity.com. That's CalvaryChapelUniversity.com. Apply today.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate so you know all the fees and everything involved. Give Indigo Mortgage a call at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. And I will say, along the lines of anxiety, a lot of people have anxiety when they go to the bank for money.
Yes, they do.
But I'm going to tell you, Ben, and Sam, Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage is exactly the kind of guy that he himself and his team are going to help lessen the anxiety, because they just give you the information. Mm-hmm. There's no manipulation. There's no coercion. It's just straightforward kindness, and they do a great job.
Nice.
But I'm trying to apply things that you're talking about today, Sam. We're talking about anxiety and depression. You've kind of given us an idea about anxiety disorders. Depression, if it's not addressed early, can become a lot of different things. What are those things?
Mm-hmm. And that's where it can move into levels of depression, to where you can, within the diagnosis, and some of this is education for people, you know, that are coming into mental health therapy, and you'll see like under EOB for your insurance and these types of things. So it's really giving people kind of what happens within the process of this. But a lot of people will experience, say, acute stress or these types of things at one time happening, and say they have a sense of depression and that, a sense of hopelessness. That can be adjustment disorder. I'm just having difficulty adjusting to this situation. But let's say it goes unhelped, looked at, you know, to where somebody doesn't get help and it prolongs, and then they start drinking, and then they start going into these other situations. That's where it can manifest. And again, I'm stealing that word from the New Age as well. It can manifest in the things that God did not intend, because that's why he wants that idea of come to me, all who are heavy laden, so that we aren't left to our own vices. And that's the space of, it can manifest into, you know, manic depressive disorder, where manic depressive mania, it can vacillate back and forth. And it's literally like a trampoline. You're up and you're down. You're up and you're down. And, you know, schizophrenia, it's kind of funny because we all hear voices in some way or another. We talk to ourselves conscious, but it can go very, very negative. It can go very isolating. It can go to this more, to the place of anxiety, to where you're imagining things that aren't real. Mm. And that's the space of back to that sense of hopelessness. And I like at Cornerstone, we have a very much a parts focus. You know, I'm so mad at myself. It's really helping people to define that idea of there is something in you that wills and to do. You know, and at Cornerstone, that's the Christ in us. That's the hope the glory that was meant before the foundations of the earth. And that's that space of really helping people to grab onto that, to grab onto the hem of his garment when everything else is spiraling, or it seems like it's spiraling out of control. You know, and Steve was awesome and gave this earlier about figures in the Bible that struggled with certain things, depression, anxiety. But if you read your Bible, you'll see your story in there. But what you're going to find in there too, especially a David, is he would turn his face. Where does my help come from? And that's what we want to be at Cornerstone, is helping somebody along their journey to get closer to Christ, you know, in the context of using these diagnoses and mental health and those types of things. But they're not defined as that, you know. To the listeners, your sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of one of the gentlemen that we use a lot of his material, Loving on Purpose, Danny Silk, says that the goal is that we all get home safe. And that's the context of really helping people along their journey to get where they're destined to go. And that's intimacy. That's that place of knowing that they are safe in a state of vulnerability. Mm. But depression and anxiety really isolate, you know, and Paul was pretty adamant that we really grow in being able to take thoughts captive so that we don't become in captivity to them. So that's where we really want to help define people, because if you go too far into a thought, you'll, especially if it's a depressing thought, you're going to find yourself in the state of being of depression. Mm. And that's where getting with somebody who can really be that neutral witness, but have your best interest in the context of who you are and really call that out of you. That's what we want to be, and really have the context of being able to define things, but that's not who you are.
I want to back up and say that there are people that are grieving maybe over the loss of a loved one. Mm-hmm. That is a purely God-made, this is what you're supposed to do, grieve. Right. But you just used an expression that if you go too far into a thought, mm-hmm. like I know people that will, I've known parents that have said, hey, they tell their child, can you run to the store for me? Child gets in a car accident. And all of a sudden they're pointing the fingers at themselves. I've caused the death of my child, mm-hmm. which is the farthest thing from the truth, not a message coming from God at mm-hmm. all. You know, things happen. Mm-hmm. And are you supposed to be grieving the loss of that child? Absolutely. Are you going to have a gamut of emotions? Are you going to have great memories? Mm-hmm. What you're going to help people with, even though that's kind of a one-time event, and these one-time events are sometimes coming at us.
Right.
You're going to help people understand that, you know, that is a huge loss. It's a terrible loss. Mm-hmm. The anxiety of it is immeasurable in my mind. Mm-hmm. I pray every day, God, you know, please protect my children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I also have close friends that have lost,
right.
you know, loved ones. And, you know, you don't want to see people that you love suffering. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. I had a neat couple on here a couple days ago, the Sondagers. They have just an amazing son named Smith who has Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And there is no suffering there. They said this is the happiest guy on the planet.
Nice.
Now, he is not perceived by a lot of people as having the wonderful life that they think they have, but mm-hmm. the Sondagers will tell you Smith has a more wonderful life, man. Right. He's not worried about any mm-hmm. of the stuff we're worried right. about. Yeah. He's just in touch with God, feels mm-hmm. God's presence, knows God's presence, right. has a purpose in life, loves people simply, childlike. Mm-hmm. And so what they described was just amazing. But that's not a perspective that I would have had before.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that's the space of like you're talking on the idea of losing a child or losing a loved one, losing a, you know, and again, not on the same level, obviously, but losing a job, those types of things, people, human beings, all of us can attribute our identity to the action or to the doing. And that's really helping people to get back to the place of what God intended. It's your human being first. Mm. You get to be something before you ever go and do. Now they go hand in hand. But that's the spot of really helping people to understand, to be still and know, what love, you know, says to you. Not love in the idea of that, you know, just that whimsical, you know, Disney fairy tale type thing, but that love is a person and there's an attachment piece there. And for the listeners too, you know, you can do a Google search on, attachment science. And attachment science is pretty neat because it's really proving and showing what the Bible stated. You know, and the idea of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus himself, they're in a dance. They're connected. They're a family. And that's the idea of we are welcomed into that family by attachment, by being chosen. That's why the spirit of adoption. I love kids that come into the office that are adopted because I get to speak over them even more than regular biological kiddos that they're chosen. And that idea of really helping buddy to be affirmed in that way, because like you're saying, when somebody goes and starts condemning themselves, what they're doing is picking up the lie and promoting it. Mm-hmm. So the idea of beware of the fowler, but even more so, beware of the snare and the foothold that looks to grab you, because that snare and foothold is gonna take you down. You know.
You use the scripture, "Be still and know." Mm-hmm. Frequently, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure most people know what that means. I mean, mm-hmm. can you go out here to the green belt at Calvary Church alone on a bench, the wind's blowing, and be still for 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. What are you going to know?
Mm-hmm. And let me finish the scripture on that. Be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. You know, because sitting on that bench, that might be where somebody could experience anxiety and panic because, say, they can't pay their taxes. Or they lost their job, or whatever that might be. But that God, what's the, there's that good worship song that, you know, the king of the hills or the king of the mountain is also the king of the valleys. And that's the space of be still and know, but just not on the, and it's always remembering that the scripture is the word became flesh, that he lives. And that's at Cornerstone. I'm really trying to bridge that gap because we're state licensed and we've got to be very, you know, balanced in our approach and, but in that context that he lives. So my hope is that when somebody enters our doors is that they feel the presence because he lives. And that's what I'm finding when somebody can be on that bench and say they're experiencing depression or anxiety, but they start praising and they start using their physical voice to get moving and get actionable in their words. Depression can't hang around. Because love enters the room, if you will, or enters that space. Not that he wasn't there, but we're accessing it. And depression can't stay around praise. It's kind of a neat context of when you get into the place of intimacy and love. Depression, the neural pathways and the dynamics that happen with that, it does take there's a variance that happens.
I've been asked by a number of people, why God didn't just throw down a few lightning bolts, like even right now, like we need reassurance in our faith, fire down a few lightning bolts, have the big, giant, big, booming voice out of heaven say, Sam and Jim, you better believe in me. And we would salute him and say, yes, sir, because we're scared. We're terrified. Mm-hmm. But that in and of itself answers the question. God created us with a nature that is selfish and self-centered so that we would have the freedom to consider things that are negative and even consider things that the enemy offers us. But our path is to learn that God loves us and it has given us the capacity to love way beyond anything that could ever affect us in this world. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, that leads me to this question. Why do people have such a hard time seeing themselves with the same value God sees them with?
Hmm. Ooh, that's a big one. I would take it back, and I work very much closely with the attachment science aspect, but the caregiver piece, and then this is the generational aspect of, you know, people not hearing the context of love, you know, love one another. So love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. People that used to be kids have parents who used to be kids, and they had parents who used to be kids. But those kiddos, maybe there was conflict and those types of things, but there wasn't necessarily that place of, hey, this is who you are, you know, irregardless of what they did. And that's the spot of helping people to understand that it's okay to not be okay. And I think that place of we want to put on the mask, we want to put on, you know, if you go on Facebook right now and look at my pictures, You'll see the smiles. You'll see those things. But you didn't see two nights ago when we had a conflict in the house and people were yelling or people were frustrated or whatever that might be, because that state of being right there was in a state of lack, a state of frustration. And that's that spot of people have a hard time, I think, being honest because they feel like they're going to be accused or shamed, you know. And, you know, that idea of we love going to church and it, whether it be Saturday night or Sunday service. But a lot of times you'll see people get out of their car and they're frustrated and they see Jim. Hey, Jim, how's it going? All good. Versus the idea of like, man, it's been a hard week.
Yeah.
You know, but that availability of helping people again to be honest. And again, it's, you know, within boundaries that there's certain people that you're going to be honest with and then certain people that you're going to give them some. But that space of really having the availability to kind of strip it down, you know, just like if you had, real good friend recently. He is going through some difficulty, but he bought an old little Miata car. He started stripping it down, but it's been such a therapeutic thing, you know, for him to kind of go through and start doing, and he's building it back up, but he's having to take out some old parts that aren't working anymore and exchange them for new. And man, what an idea of relationship with Jesus of how he does that for us.
But the goal is get to drive in this beautiful New Mexico with the top down, yeah, and enjoy a nice summertime here in New Mexico.
Amen.
Sam Newman is the director of Cornerstone LifeWorks here in Albuquerque. They are a Christian counseling service. You can reach them at 345-2778. Our topic today is anxiety and depression, and when we come back, Sam's going to talk to us about five things we can do to help us overcome depression. We'll be right back.
At Krecker Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecker Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKreckerLawFirm.com. The C-R-E-C-C-A Law Firm.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
It's morning in Canton, Ohio. Joe McDermott is thirsty. He gets up from his easy chair and walks 20 feet to the kitchen. He turns on the faucet and fills up his glass. 8,000 miles away, Mahika walks barefoot for 3 miles to fill her clay jug with water. Problem is, this water is contaminated. The people of Mahika's village suffer from disease. Some die, but this is their only source of water. Joe, if you're listening, for just $30, Gospel Phrasia can provide a biosand water filter for Mahika and her family. This device makes water 98% pure. Or you can donate a Jesus well for her village, bringing clean water to 300 people. Joe, we hope you're listening, because people like Mahika are counting on you. Give the gift of life, the gift of water, and point the way to the living water through Gospel Phrasia. Thanks, Joe. Call 855-572-4628 or go to knkt.com and click the Gospel for Asia banner.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. talking about anxiety and depression, I'll tell you right now, you talk to Holly, you're not going to have anxiety. You're going to be excited. You might have the opposite of I know there's positive and negative stress, but Holly, everything about Holly's positive.
Nice.
She'll give you so many homes to look at. It'll be a positive stress for you to get out and look at all of them, but you'll have a good time. Really appreciate our sponsors here on ABQ Connect and KNKT Radio. They're a blessing supporting this ministry. We hope you're encouraged today. Sam Newman is the director of Cornerstone LifeWorks. Again, Cornerstone has a mission to help individuals, couples, and families cultivate the quality of life and relationships that they were first intended to have. That really has a directive that people get pretty far down the road with anxiety and depression. They really don't need to do that, do they, Sam?
No. And that's the spot of being able to pause, to stop on that road, if you will. So, because when people can pause, they can really ask themselves or collaborate to see, okay, where am I going? And most of the times people coming in, now again, we can talk about acute things that happen, trauma, but a lot of times it's a family system. It's a habitual thing, to where this is a generational thing. Well, my parents have always done that or whatever it might be. So being in that idea, and I always like saying to people, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. So it's not necessarily, blaming, because I love the context that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, but it's 100% our responsibility no matter what's happened to us. And that's helping people to really get back into the driver's seat of what God has put upon their heart to do, to discover the passions, the desires that they've got, the hope that they've been destined for. And that always encompasses, I love that you're talking about your sponsors, because those sponsors are looking to help people, in the context of serving one another, of getting involved. And obviously we make a living off of that, but how good is God that we get to serve others doing it?
Yeah. So. I know a lot of people that have anxiety that are in business that almost feel like they feel guilty because they're getting paid. Boy, I got to tell people today, especially with all the COVID, impact on our business community, don't begrudge people making a living. Mm-hmm. In fact, bless them as much as you can. Get to the restaurants, get some, gift cards and tip well and, just appreciate that people really need our support. And they will in turn support you. Amen. I can promise you that's true.
Yeah.
Sam, give us some ideas, maybe five things or so you've outlined for me that we can do to overcome depression.
Yeah. Number one that I've kind of, just to start it off is talk about it. Find a trusted friend, find a family member. Now, I want to put a little asterisk on that. We've got to be careful who we talk to, who we share with. Because if I go to my drinking buddies and again, a lot of good friends, a lot of good family, but if we're not focusing in the idea of getting help, but we're perpetuating the problem, and birds of a feather flock together, we've got to be real careful, that we're not hanging with the turkeys, when we're eagles. And again, to all you listeners, you're all eagles out there, yeah. But the idea and the mindset that people are in, sometimes people aren't wanting to deal with their stuff.
Yeah.
So it's that context, and you'll see that in Job. And that's the space of being very mindful. And if we get still, and this is, to all you out there, really get still, like Jim talked about, get on that park bench and be still and know and ask the Father who it is that I should go talk to. Now, the cool thing is that might not be just about you. That might be about them as well. Number two, and one and two can go hand in hand, but seek professional help. That context, and that could be a pastor. That could be a friend. In the context of professional, of being mindful and knowledgeable, but also at Cornerstone. And really, we have some great clinicians and great community here in town. At Cornerstone, we have a pretty wide breadth of clinicians and even our office staff are trained and trauma-informed. And the big thing is first and foremost, we want to know that people are seen, that you're known. And that you have value and worth. So that's the context of really getting professional help to a place where you feel valued and not just, just another patient. I like referring to our people at Cornerstone, the people that come on and get and receive help as clients. because we're co-laboring towards something. So in that of number three, become involved, that can again be with professional help, but really within the community, so that the context comes out that love your neighbor as yourself. If you get out and you're serving others and you're helping, it could be on the, in the soup kitchen. It could be serving the homeless. It could be, you know, if you go on Craigslist, there is an area in there where people are asking for help. Nextdoor app, there are people asking, hey, I need my house painted. I need these things. And that could be for fee for service, but a lot of that could just be serving somebody.
You know, so you're actually challenging people,
yes,
that are having a hard time getting off the couch to get over to their church and help organize the food donations for the day and transport some of that food to some people that need it.
Right.
You know, maybe they're elderly and they can't get out of their house. I mean, you're saying get out there and serve.
And this could be our neighbors.
I mean, yes.
How many of us out there haven't met our neighbors? You know, and I know that's, you know, it's that whole thing. It's really interesting, the statistics of when the garage door was invented and the air conditioner, social relating to your neighbors went down, you know, not a, maybe a hundredfold, but a bunch. But in that context, go knock on people's door. You know, get that space of serving one another, of asking if there's anything I can do for you, if there's any need, even just introducing yourself. People will feel better. And I always make a challenge. You will feel better if you put yourself out there in that context. Big one these days is exercise, move, stretch. And people in the context of stretching, it's not to get out there and just start lifting heavy weight, but stretch and really focus. You can go on YouTube and look up, you know, stretches, dynamic stretching, but especially your hip flexors. Hip flexors is such a component in the body because it really connects your upper body to your lower body. But a lot of stress is just held in that. And people, you know, always focus on their back. But sitting is a precursor to depression as well, because it kind of builds on itself. The more you sit, the more that depression has the capability to set into your body. But the more depression sets in, the more you sit. So if you don't feel like doing something, get up and do it anyway. You'll feel better.
I can't help but think about the colloquial get off your butt
that
we all use.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it just is true.
And for all you men out there, you know, it's kind of the idea of poop or get off the pot.
Yes.
You know, you get moving. You know, don't spend too much time in these areas. And that's, you know, in that context of really finding things that are helpful, that are useful for your time, taking a walk, getting out. The next one could be if, and you know, in balance with this, that people can care for the pet, but getting a pet, getting an animal can help with this too. And there's a ton of hypoallergenic type animals out there, but our shelters, you know, so this could be a neighborly thing. A lot of times I know I had somebody complaining the other day about a neighborhood dog barking, and they like dogs. Well, why don't you go offer to walk their dog? But to them, that was so foreign because, again, we're so separate in how we live sometimes. So in that space of really just helping people, you know, in the context of things that they can do. But like we're talking about, it's really helping people on the number one is to get out of isolation.
Right.
And to ask.
Well, let's go over these a little bit more in depth before we take a break, and then we'll come back and give a little bit more detail. But your first suggestion is that we talk about it and maybe talk about it with a friend or a loved one. But I want to tell you a story. When I was younger, I mean, I'm over 60 years old now, so this was about when I was 10 years old. It was a summertime. And my dad was at work. My mom, you know, was she kept the house. She managed the whole family, paid all the bills, did all of that. But she would very frequently have women from around our you know, general area come over to our house for tea. And I remember that two or three women came over one time and they were just bashing their husbands. I mean, I'm a 10-year-old. I'm in the other room. You know, the way houses were built, I could hear every word they were saying and I could just hear them. Oh, my husband never does this and not blah, 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 blah. And I'll never forget, my mom was also hearing this, but she was in the other room and she came in. And the three women that were in our kitchen, they immediately looked at my mom because they'd already been discussing this and saying, they just kind of repeated what they had told each other. And what do you think, Beth? And I'll never forget my mom. My mom redirected them to, you know, we all have problems. I mean, anybody can complain about any of us. But what do you, what's a good thing about your husband, Alice? And she made these women, each one of them, not in a forceful way, but just in a smiling way. She made each one of these people say something good about their husbands. And I can look back on that right now, and I can tell you there was not another negative thing the entire conversation. But the first 15, well, it wasn't that long. It was probably just 10 minutes. Those women were talking to the wrong people because they were just bashing each other's husbands. They weren't really getting any counsel that would improve it. And I'm so proud of my mom because her focus was always on the positive.
Yeah, that's good. Good. And the idea of helping people, you know, there's a balance because there is an unloading. Come to me, all heavy laden. So that ability, but there is that spot of maintaining the goal. And that's what I love about the work that we do. There's the idea of somebody coming in who is known and seen and really calling out of them the goodness, just like your mom did. You know, what is one good thing? Because what that does, and this is the science of it, it redirects the neural pathway to the idea of hope, balance. And then hopefully, too, that those ladies can go call that out of their husband and not just life and death is in the tongue. Not go and just shred them, you know, but more call them to life, call them to the idea if they're not pulling their weight, you know, the idea of who they are. And that's what we want to do at Cornerstone is not only do that for people coming in, but especially for you families out there, you moms, dads, husbands, wives, to really learn how to do that within your homes, to speak and to edify, just like Paul, you know, to focus on things above. But really, we want to get into that prophetic piece. We want to come, John 14 talks about to get underneath that tutelage, that idea of being able to call forth something more.
Sam Newman, director of Cornerstone LifeWorks. He is a mental health professional, counselor, professional counselor. And we're going to be back to talk one more segment. We've only gotten through like half of our questions, and we only have one segment left. Sorry about that. But we'll be right back to talk about getting professional help, how your insurance can help you defer that cost, and all of that good stuff. We'll be right back with Sam right after this.
Filled and overflowing. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. When the Houston Astros won the 2015 wildcard playoff to head to the American League Division Series, they celebrated with a champagne shower in the visitors' locker room of the New York Yankees. The Astros were a first or second place team all year, and their hard work, love for the game, and love for one another paid tremendous dividends that overflowed in celebration as they sought to win October. In the prior months, their character had been shaped as they began to tail off at the end of the season. They fought to overcome adversity and gained the wild card berth. You know, sports is a great mirror for life, but it isn't life. It can teach us many things and encourage us to reflect on what really matters. Philippians 1:10 states, "For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return." What really matters is that we set ourselves apart for Christ and demonstrate His character.
Roger's devotional, A Minute of Vision for Men, is available for pre-order at visionforlife.org.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about anxiety and depression with a smile on our face because it is perfectly normal and we all face it. And Sam Newman with Cornerstone LifeWorks is in studio with me today talking about it. Sam, I'm going to give you a scenario before we talk about people seeking professional help and do that early so there's early intervention.
Yes.
But I know a lot of parents, including me, not because I have kids competing, but a lot of parents relieved today because the Albuquerque Public Schools is now going to be allowed to have their students participate in interscholastic activities mm-hmm. and athletics. Mm-hmm. So there's been so much stress about, you know, people, seniors particularly, losing their entire season. So we're going to have abbreviated schedules in football, but we're going to get in all the fall sports, all the winter sports, and all the spring sports between now and the end of the year, which I think is going to be a blast.
Yeah.
But now that we don't have to stress out about that, we're going to be stressing out about winning and all these other mm-hmm. things. We've got to just chill out and have an attitude of thankfulness mm-hmm. and let the kids have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, it's a human situation of where if it's not murder hornets, it's COVID, or if it's not that, it's something else. But it is that space of if people, you know, so we're focusing on just the simple things, but breath, being thankful. And it could literally be, I mean, thankful for your shoes, your shoelaces. I mean, mm-hmm. but that availability, we're talking about the action of it. It's the mobilization of a thankful heart. You know, with a thankful heart, I bring my offering. And that availability of the opening up of the sports, I mean, I've talked to a handful of kids who are just relieved that they're getting, you know, some availability to get some movement, get out of the house. And I think parents are relieved on that end too, yeah. you know. So, but the community aspect is as we can make, and maybe, you know, maybe it won't go back to what it was, but there's good things ahead as we can seek first, you know, the goodness of that.
I'm going to give you a couple scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to our service men and women who are overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say one of them comes home, has seen some awful stuff
mm-hmm.
on the battlefield, and they're back here with their families. There's going to be some difficulties with that.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well anticipate it right now and seek some professional help before anything can go bad.
Right.
What does that initial meeting with a therapist look like? Because you have some people with military experience on your staff. What does that look like for them? If somebody yep. wants to do it early, get it out of the way, let's start this whole relationship and reintegration back into, you know, from war to, mm-hmm. to, you know, let's living with your family.
Right. Normalcy.
Yeah. yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah. At Cornerstone, we have a little bit of a different process because the initial session is an assessment session. We want to kind of go through and really look at what are the needs. And anybody coming to us is going to have different needs, but we want to really kind of learn to serve those needs and apply the things that we do in a way that, really satisfies the person. But it's always coming from a place of acceptance, love, you know, connection with whatever they're coming in with. But we will, the essential session, that initial session is an assessment session. They're going to be meeting with some of our clinicians who do the assessments. And that would either be Natalie, Sean, some other clinicians that we've got. And then from there, from the needs, we will look to place them with the appropriate counselor who they will first feel connected with. And say if somebody's coming, you know, they're a military, say they're a Marine and they're coming over. We've got two of our therapists have served in the Marine Corps or served in the Navy or served in the Army. So in that context, there's already automatically on that attachment science piece, there's already a place of, oh, I can relate to you. So we want people to feel relatable to their clinician, to who they're meeting with. And that's from the get-go. And then from there, we come up with a treatment plan and ways to really assess from there what they might need. And it might be more of a relational, you know, aspect of between a husband and a wife or a parenting situation, or it could be a functional and the idea of, okay, let's get you in for a medical, you know, recommendation. If there's any trauma in the background where somebody has either been physically or emotionally abused, sexually abused, those are types of things that we want to assess firsthand. And that's what you're seeing across the board in medical, is that things are really going back to, okay, well, what happened to you when you were a kid? Versus just really kind of turning a blind eye to that, because symptomology is coming from somewhere. And that's where we want to really assess and really see if it happened yesterday or if this has been a long-term type thing. And then from there, you know, it can work into a weekly session, bi-weekly session, once a month type session pertaining to the needs.
And insurance typically assists with taking care of that?
Typically, you know, people can use their health savings account, you know, in that context of either for copays or for the full session fee. We try to do, you know, for people that aren't utilizing insurance as much as possible, we try to do a reduced fee. And we always have a joke as clinicians. We know we're not going to make millions at this. Yeah. But the goal is we're going to make a living, and there's a charge to it. But we will do our best to find that on a scale that can be affordable for people coming in. But we really advocate for people. We found a lot of clients coming in that there are services available for them if they want to get on Medicaid. But there's a lot of people out that didn't know that that's available to them. So we try to do some you know, case management in that of helping them with their services.
And you walk them through the paperwork and all of the stuff that's involved.
As much as we can, and really helping them to get involved with their insurance because that's a service they're paying for. So that's something that we want to really help advocate and support across the board.
Now, have you had a client that you've worked with, they're meeting with a therapist or maybe even doing some group kind of interaction, because I know you have that available too. We had Gary on the program here last time, I think you were here, and we talked to him a little bit about some of the group stuff that you're doing. Have you seen people that have gotten through that initial meeting and maybe some therapy sessions, and then all of a sudden they're kind of motivated to do what you said, and that is get involved and actually serve other people in the midst of their difficulty?
Yeah, and we really have seen it go both ways, to where people do get activated and involved, or, and this is the challenge too, and this is where I want to really encourage listeners to, if they start the process and some stuff starts coming up, stuff that they haven't wanted to look at, stuff they feel afraid of, hopeless of, be open about that and don't stop. Don't stop coming. Don't stop the journey. Just like in the, you know, the wilderness aspect, you want to really not stop. But we want to find that relief and helping people. But the activation piece, once people start getting involved, a lot of times it's really awesome as a clinician to get fired. Because people, well, you know, Sam, I've been doing really well. I don't think I need it as much. Well, how about we schedule an appointment in 3 months?
Yeah.
That is wonderful. We want people to really have the focus of healing, not just perpetuation of issues. And that with that, we do offer different levels of individual counseling, but now also too, we offer some intensive outpatient counseling to where if people are just like that military person coming home and they're exhibiting symptoms of PTSD. We want to get them immediate help and maybe more than just that once a week or once every other week. This is more 9 hours in the week that we can offer.
Would it be good for a parent who has a 15-year-old that's kind of acting out and just has tried everything under the sun to give you guys a call and say, hey, let's go talk to somebody and see if we can figure this out?
Yeah, and we want to make that too of obviously for the 15-year-old of finding them just a safe place, a voice, but then also for that mom or that dad if they're feeling powerless and not just give it the excuse, well, it's just a teenager. There is some actualization to that, but at that same point, let's help mom and dad to feel like they have a voice. And that availability to speak into that kiddo's life and call it out.
Well, I'm so glad, as I said earlier, that our schools are starting to get opened. Maybe not as quickly as I would like, but they are getting opened. COVID and the symptoms and the people being hospitalized is dissipating, so I think we're going to get back. One last question I have is, we've talked about everything but this. Is social media really interaction, interpersonal communication? I think it contributes to a lot of this.
Yeah, and I see it as an add-on, you know, in the context of if people can get involved emotionally, physically, but face-to-face, person-to-person, social media can be a good add-on to where people share, but not just by itself.
Sam Newman, we had an hour and a half of questions, and we only got through about three-quarters of them, but you are a trooper to stay with
me.
Thank you so much. The five suggestions to help us overcome anxiety and depression. I appreciate you.
Amen. Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.